Good morning. It's good to be here once again. Let's open with a word of prayer, then we'll get started here. Our Heavenly Father, thanks for this day, and thanks for your word, and thanks for your spirit, and thanks for the life of Jesus, that we can all be saved through him. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm going to be picking up with Ezekiel chapter 36. I brought this up in my last sermon, but I'm going to kind of continue on with it if it's all right with you guys. Because in Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 25, that sets up the New Testament for us. And it reads, it says, when we will be cleaned with a sprinkled clean water upon you, and I shall clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart I also will give you, and a new spirit I will put it in with you. And I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And if you notice in verse 25 here, notice the state that Adam left us in after he sinned in the garden. And also notice the state that the Israelites were in at this time too. And also we're in this situation too before we give our life to Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 25, he talks about cleaning us up. Because before, when Adam sinned in the garden, he put unrighteousness on all of us. He put the wrath of God on all of us. We were unclean, unfit, and out of a relationship with Jesus, with God himself. But he's going to sprinkle clean water upon you. That's baptism. Talking about his burial and resurrection. And notice also, he's going to take away our stony heart, a hardened heart. Then also notice in verse 27, he's going to put his spirit within us. Because remember in the garden, what happened to our spirit in the garden? What happened? They spiritually died. And so that is a state that Adam left all mankind in. And you'll stay in that state until you receive Jesus Christ. And that is the reason in John 2:19, it says, Jesus makes this statement, I will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it again. Because oftentimes in the Old Testament, he puts it in the physical form, so we can see what's happening in the spiritual form in the New Testament. And so here in verse 2:19, what he is doing, he is changing a physical temple into a spiritual temple. He's raising the temple back up. Because if he's going to give me a new spirit, where is the spirit going to reside? It has to have a temple to live in. So where is this temple at? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 16 and 17, do you not know ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defiles the temple of God, him he shall destroy, and the temple of God is holy, which the temple ye are holy. So the temple of God, the temple, the holy temple, is us. The temple that he was going to raise up, he was talking about us, not the physical temple. And that's the reason they couldn't understand that. And a lot of times we got to transform our minds from the physical world to the spiritual world in the New Testament. He's talking about a spiritual temple within inside ourselves. That is the reason, like in Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable for service. Notice them are priest terms. Because Old Testament was all about sacrifice. And what happened to sacrifice in the Old Testament? They died. They were burned. They were drained of their blood. But in the New Testament, he talks about a living sacrifice. How can you sacrifice something and still be alive? But that's the reason Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. That's the reason he shed his blood and gave that sacrifice so we don't have to do that. So now when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts me, confronts me on something, or calls me out on something, I can change. I got to humble myself and change to what he calls me unto. And so I'm a living sacrifice. I can give that to Christ. I can sanctify it to him. And notice that he gives me mercy. Mercy is about holding back God's judgment from me. In the New Testament, he holds his judgment away from me and gives me mercy so I have time to change. Since the Spirit can live and with inside me now, he makes me holy. I am as holy as God is holy. Humbleness and holiness are the same. Because I got to come humble to God's word. When I come humble to God's word and I follow God's word, then I live in holiness. Then when God sees the Spirit of God on me, sees the blood of Jesus Christ on me, and I'm following in his word, then I'm acceptable unto him. I'm acceptable unto him to do his service. Because of the sacrifice in the Old Testament, it had to meet requirements before God would accept it as a sacrifice. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit when he comes lives in me. It's his job to make me acceptable of the God of the Heavenly Father. So he'll accept me. And that's the reason I need to be humble to him and listen to him when he comes and talks to me and then change myself. And in the part in 17 where he talks about destroying the temple, whoever defiles the temple of God, whoever does not want to condition their spirit or condition their temple into what God calls acceptable, God will separate the sheep from the goats. And you kind of have this symbolism in the Old Testament in Exodus 32, starting with verse 26. This is after Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and he found the Israelites once again returning to their old ways of building gods and everything else to what the world says was right. And it made Moses mad, so he called out to the Israelites, "Whoever stands with the Lord, come over by me." And the ones that didn't come, God called the Levites. The Levites tribe is the one that God made priests out of in the New Testament. And he called them to go slay every person who did not come to that side. So the men that they slaughtered and the women they slaughtered were their friends, were their neighbors, were their brothers, were their sisters. Could you imagine doing that? They did it. And over 3,000 men died. Because in the Old Testament, there was no mercy. They got the full judgment of God's word. That's the benefit we have in the New Testament. We have mercy. God gives us time to change if we're willing to humble our heart to him. And that's what will happen Also, I want you to understand that when Jesus came and lived and dwelled with us, he had lived in 10 commandments so I wouldn't have to. Because none of us could fulfill them. Every one of us has broken them. You've broken one, you've broken them all. And Jesus did that for me and for you. And so if I die without Jesus in my heart, if I die without receiving him, I get to face the Ten Commandments by myself. I get to face the judgment just like they did here in the Old Testament. We alone cannot stand against God's word. But in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 38, this is Peter giving his sermon. He says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here in the New Testament, we have the option of just repenting of what we've done wrong. And Jesus has been that sacrifice, paid the penalty for that sin, if I'm just willing to humble to it, admit to it. Then he talks about being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Because I am not remitted of my sin until I admit it. And in this new age, you got to be, how I want to say this, very careful of this new prosperity preaching or social gospel kind of like, where they're very upbeat. They talk about Jesus Christ and being and talk about all about believing in Jesus, what he is, but they never talk about repentance. You cannot have remission of sin without repentance. Then after we have done that, because in the first Beatitudes it talks about humbling your spirit. Then the second Beatitude is mourning. After we have done that process, then Paul said, then Peter here says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to receive. You have to let him come in and receive him into your spirit. Then you get the full advantage of who this Holy Spirit is. It's just like drinking a glass of water. When you drink it, you get the whole what water is. Same with the Holy Spirit. You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then it's up to me to change myself to what he calls me to do. Then if you jump down to Acts 2, after Peter gave this that told the people how they could repent in the New Testament, because back in his time, in the Old Testament time, this was an impossibility. This wasn't possible that you could just repent of your sin and it'd be done. Because back then, you had to take a sacrifice. You had to raise a lamb up in your house, and usually became a pet to you, and you had to go slaughter it. This would be like taking your pet that you like the most, taking it to the altar and slaughtering it. That's what it'd be like to them. And now all of a sudden, now they're changing around to where you don't have to do that no more. That'd be a custom change to you. I mean, that would change your world. Just in our own world, when someone tells you to do something differently that you've been doing it for years, you fight with them, don't you? You resist it. And this is the same thing that Paul and the disciples had when they was giving the new gospel. But notice here, when the Spirit came out, this is the Holy Spirit came out, 3,000 men were saved that day. See the difference between living by the law and living by the Spirit? The Spirit quickened you. When you listen to the Spirit of God, he quickened you. He saves you. And also in Matthew 25 through 32, he gives a future. He gives a future separation. In Matthew chapter 25, 32, it says, "Before him shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." So there is a future division coming once again. Just because we go to church doesn't mean you're a child of God. God knows every one of our hearts. He knows if you're living for the word or not. He knows your private life. He knows everything. And so when we come to this repentance, we got to be honest with him, we got to be sincere with him, and we got to live a sincere life. Because when we give our life to Jesus Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Notice the word "new creation." Genesis is still happening. I become a new creation just by me speaking repentance unto Jesus Christ. He makes me a new creation. And that new creation is my choice. And if you don't accept that, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. A lot of times we want to blame God for everything, every problem we have. A lot of times it's me is the problem. I'm the problem. God has done everything possible for you not to miss heaven. He's done everything possible. And all it takes for me is to bow my knee and to humble myself to him. Then Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, he talks about this again, but in a different way. "You know ye not you're the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have God and have been not of your own. For you have been bought with a price thereof, and the glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which you are God." I want you to notice how sacred your body is. You are a sacred being where the Holy Spirit resides. A lot of times, we're not taught that. We need to learn to respect our body and honor it. Because it was bought with a price. This is a very viable body that God has created for us to live in. It was so viable that God died for you, that Jesus came and saved you. That's how viable it is. I know living in our culture, we often tear down one another, or we don't look at ourselves as God sees us. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we become kings and queens unto him. We're in royalty. He has made you royalty of heaven. That's how we need to see ourselves. We need to be responsible for this glorifying God through our body, through our actions, how we treat one another. Because remember, we're representing him. We're part of his kingdom now. We have died. Now we're his. And that's where we got to, And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and he cultivates my life. From that stony heart to a heart of love. We all go through that process. We all live in the same boat. We all have regrets. We all have our stuff we need to change. None of us is different from one another. And so every word that comes out of our mouth needs to be where it's building people, building ourselves, building us around us. Because if we speak out of a heart of hate, all we do is degrade people, we tear down people, and ultimately that leads to fear. We put actually fear into people, and fear leads to torment. And that's what hell is. When you enter hell, you will feel is fear. And that fear will torment you. So we got to be careful of the words that I speak from my heart. But the heart of love does the opposite. When I encourage somebody, when I have a speak to people out of love, it does the opposite. I build them up. I change them. Look what Jesus did to the world when he came. He radically changed the whole entire world just by his love of heart. Adulterous woman, he changed her life. Where the world condemned her, he saved her and loved her. That's what we need to be about. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 18, this is where I want to get to. For through him we both have access to by one Spirit unto the Father. And now therefore ye have no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. For the household of God, and we are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in him all buildings fitted and framed together, growing into one, unto a temple, unto the Lord, into whom we are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Now that we are born of the Spirit, now our spiritual self is born, the spiritual side of me is born, where the Holy Spirit resides, now I have access to the Father. I no longer have to go through a priest. For if you read the book of Hebrews, he made us all priests. And so now I can go boldly to the throne that any time that you need the Father, and I got immediate access to him. Because I'm the temple. Everything that, if you go in the Old Testament and you read all the artifacts that's in the temple, is in me. The altar, everything. The Holy of Holies, everything is in me, in you. In verse 19, notice here, we're no longer strangers, but we are fellow citizens of heaven. Even though we're not there, we're still here. We are the church. The building isn't the church. We're the church. We are the kingdom of God. And we are the household of God. That should give us confidence of who we are. And also, we're built in foundations with apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. They are one who started all this. Now in verse 21, this is where we come in. That is the reason that we need to spiritually grow in our own life, in our own temple. Because right now, God is framing us all together into oneness. Into one unit. Into unity. And And in verse 22, also we're built together in a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we can come, when we all come together, it's just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all unified by the Spirit of God. And now when we can come together as a church in one unit, come together and have no division between us. That is the reason we need to allow the Holy Spirit to change my heart, allow the Spirit into the Word, because that takes out division. Because when I act on my own or speak out of my own opinions without asking God whether it's right or not, that brings division. So always take everything to the Lord in prayer first. And as your new pastor is coming, that's where you need to be as a church. Individually, you need to be growing, spiritually growing in your own life, reading the Word for yourself, allowing the Spirit to grow you to who you are, then coming together with no divisions, and with the new pastor coming, and then we all circle into one body. When you become one body, then you are strong. Then you can do mighty things. Because what good is a chain if you only have one link? What good is a chain if you have a broken link in it? It is worthless. Every link is important. Every person that comes to this church is important. You are important to God. You are. See yourself how God sees you. And don't let the world deceive you. The Bible tells you who you are. And that's where you need to grow at, is in the Word of God, and let the Word of God show you who you are. And you'll be amazed where God will take you. You'll be amazed where He grows you at. I never thought I'd be standing here, but I am. I should be the least. But God can use anybody at any time if you are willing. You don't need to be a professional. You don't need to have a large college degrees. You just need to be a willing heart, an open heart, and an open vessel, and God can use you. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thanks for allowing us to be your vessels into this world, and help us to preach your gospel and your message, and help us take it to the world, and so other people can be changed and get this new creation life. In Jesus' name, amen.